Again, let me bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. And we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin in the foyer. I hope you received one when you came in. I'm going to ask, I know we have company with us this morning. So I'll ask my brethren to kind of look around and share, or if you see folks without a bulletin or an outline, if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. Please share, or you can go get other outlines and hand them out, but that's available for you. I put in the outline, in the introduction, the sermon is titled, An Invitation to Salvation. At the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation, or we extend an invitation. For those who are here, if you have not done so already, to obey what we call the gospel, or to become a Christian, to be baptized for remission of sins. And that'll be part of my introduction. Then you can see in your notes, I just put number one, it's biblical to invite. It's biblical to say, come. And then we'll point number two in your notes. I'll give you some examples of those who accepted the invitation. And I underlined several words by way of, so you can see a sequence or a process in becoming a Christian or in answering that invitation. And then at the very end, the question is going to be asked of you, will you accept this invitation in the manner that's been delivered to you according to God's word? So first of all, someone asked me not very long ago to explain that invitation that we give at the close of each lesson or sermon. And they've noted that that was our custom or our practice to do. So they were curious about why we did that. So I want to give that explanation in our lesson this morning. When an invitation is extended, you know what, by definition, what's an invitation? So it means someone's going to ask you to come somewhere, or they're going to invite you to do something. It's an invitation, meaning I'm going to make a request. I'm going to ask you to follow a particular course of action. I'm going to an invitation. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to persuade you to a particular course of action. I'm going to solicit your participation in something. I'm going to extend an invitation. The title of our lesson is To Salvation. To Salvation. So again, at the close of the sermon, that invitation is extended. An invitation to salvation. I'm asking you to respond to the request for you to obey the gospel or the good news message. I'm asking you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. I'm asking you to become a Christian if you've not done so already. And we usually, at the close of the sermon, I'll ask the congregation to stand and sing. And I typically will say this song is a song of invitation, or a song of encouragement, or a song of exhortation, to persuade you to that particular course of action, to become a Christian, to be baptized, if you've not done so already. It just seems like that's a practical thing to do, or a practical time in our assembly of worship. Because there may have been something said in the sermon, or there may have been something said to you previously, perhaps in a different sermon or a Bible study, or just in your conversation with other Christians that says, you know, I think I want to be a Christian. I want to obey the gospel. I want to be baptized for remission of sins. And so you can respond to that invitation at any time. But typically at the close of a sermon, we say, why not now? While you're thinking about it. Or perhaps while it's on your mind, why are you waiting? So I put in your notes just a reason or a rationale for this invitation to salvation. What am What am I asking you to do? Or what are the benefits? What are the blessings? You might be saying, well, why should I? Why would I want to become a Christian? Why would I want to be baptized for remission of sins? Paul summarized it in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Paul said, for when we were without strength, all right, now he's describing what you are when you're not a Christian. He said, there was a time in my life when I was without strength, whether you knew that or not. Paul said, that describes someone that's not a Christian. While you were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, you mean if I'm not a Christian, I'm ungodly from God's perspective or God's point of view. If you're not on God's side, you're not on God's side. I mean, that seems sensible, practical, it's logical. So Paul says that in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, those that are not on God's side. Okay? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. He gives you an illustration. Yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, you remember those words that Paul just used to describe your situation if you're not a Christian? You are without strength. It's in the phrase in the opening verse. You may, oh, I'm a strong guy. No, not spiritually. If you're not a Christian, you're without strength. Paul said you're ungodly. Oh, but I'm on God's side. I'm God-minded. Oh, yeah, but not if you haven't accepted the invitation. Paul says, you were still sinners? That's the Bible description. That's not mine. I'm asking you to see yourselves as God sees you. Not as you see yourself or somebody else, a family member, a close friend, or work associates. Paul says this is your situation in life if you haven't obeyed the gospel. You're without strength, ungodly, oh, sinners. Christ died for you. Then he says, much more. Oh, you mean there's more? He says, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now here's the blessings. Why am I, or the Bible, extending you an invitation? Because Christ died for you? It's in the verse. You are being justified by his blood. You've been saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, now we are reconciled to God through the death of his son, reconciliation. Then he says, much more. Oh, let's add to the list. Having been reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. You see, the lesson is titled An Invitation to Salvation. I want you to come to salvation. So I summarized that in your notes. What are the benefits, the rationale? Why should I be bold in extending this invitation? Because if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're without strength, you're ungodly and a sinner. But if you obey the good news gospel message, oh, now you've been justified, you are saved from wrath, you're reconciled, you'll be saved by his life, and it's an occasion for rejoicing. Wow. How can you pass that up? How can you refuse that invitation? So at the close of a sermon, we extend an invitation to salvation. By definition, salvation means you're not going to be destroyed, or you're not going to be lost, you're going to be saved. It means if something is saved, you're preserved. If it's saved, you escape destruction. If you're saved, you are delivered from danger. If you're saved, you are brought safely through. If you are saved, the verse I just read, you are justified, saved from wrath, reconciled, and an occasion for rejoicing. That's why we extend an invitation. at the close of each sermon. The first major point in your lesson, in your notes, I put is biblical to invite you to come to salvation. Rick, when he was reading in our verse this morning, keyed on verse 17. He kind of emphasized the words come, you noted when he was reading. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come, an invitation. Let him who hears say, come, an invitation. Let him that is athirst say, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. It's an invitation. I want to persuade you to accept that invitation. I want to instill within you the desire to be saved. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you. That's an invitation. It's an invitation. Y'all come. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. An invitation for rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest. That's the promise. You will find rest to your souls. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said to his disciples, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples. In other words, extend an invitation to come. Go and make disciples. Invite people to become Christians. Invite people to salvation. Go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Continued education. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records Jesus' words this way, Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world. In other words, invite everybody. Y'all come. Preach the gospel to every creation, every creature. He who believes, he who accepts the invitation. He who believes, those who respond, I'll accept that invitation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, accepted the invitation. But he who does not believe, not everyone's going to accept the invitation. He who does not believe will be condemned, Jesus said. Not me. I'm just giving the messenger. I'm extending the invitation. He who believes and is baptized, invitation accepted. He who does not believe, refuses the invitation, is condemned. See, an invitation is biblical. Biblical. The next point in your outline, I just wanted to note some examples of those who accepted the invitation. Beginning in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, after Jesus has now finished his earthly ministry, he's ascended back to the Father's right hand. And after that ascension, 10 days later, the disciples, according to Jesus' commands, are in Jerusalem and they begin preaching a good news gospel message that he told them to preach right before he ascended. Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he who believes and is baptized. Oh, so now they are 10 days after his ascension. They are starting or that ministry, that preaching, extending that invitation. So it says in Acts 2, verse 36, Peter stands up and says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus. He's preaching to these devout Jews from every nation. He's preaching to religious people. He says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, they're cut to the heart. Oh, I'm guilty as charged. I'm ungodly. I'm a sinner. I've crucified the Christ. Is there any hope for me? I've murdered the Messiah. So they said, what shall we do? Peter extends the invitation. He extended the invitation. He said right there, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, y'all come. He extends the invitation. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Didn't leave anybody out. He didn't say half do this and half do something else. What he required of one, he required of all of them. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Ah, for salvation. And to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's a heavenly message. So he said, and he continues, because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then he encourages them in that invitation. Verse 40, with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them saying, save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation. Extended the invitation. Encourage them to come. Verse 41. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 47. The Lord added to them those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Back in verse 41. Those who gladly received his word and were baptized. It's an invitation to salvation. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. Verse 47, the Lord added to them daily those who were being saved. Saved. That's what I want. It's also in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. When they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Oh, they believed Philip's sermon, his message, his invitation. And both men and women were baptized. In Acts 8, verse 34, Philip now preaches to a single individual. He's preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, the eunuch answered Philip and said, he's preaching a Jesus message. He answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of him or some other man? Well, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus. Well, as they came down the road, they came to water. The eunuch said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He wants to know, can I come? Can I come to salvation? Am I invited? Anything hindering me from that invitation or from salvation? Is anything stopping me from accepting that invitation? Philip said, he extends it. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Yeah, you can. It's the invitation. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Stop the chariot. Commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the Ethiopian, the eunuch, went down into the water and he was baptized. Invitation accepted. In Acts chapter 16, there's a lady named Lydia. And she heard Paul and Silas preaching. And said the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And she and her household were baptized. Oh, he extended the invitation. Lydia, you're a worshiper, but there's something else. You need to be baptized for salvation. For salvation. She thought, I'm on God's side. Oh, but the invitation to salvation is to one who believes and is baptized. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in jail for their preaching. Not everyone appreciated the invitation that they were extending. So they were arrested and beaten and thrown in jail. And then they're singing praises at midnight. And then miraculously the jail doors open. And so the jailer brought them out, and the jailer says, "Sirs, you know, Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Can I come to salvation? Am I invited?" Yeah. So now Paul and Silas give the invitation. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You and your household." Well, then that's not the last of it. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in the house. Yeah. Because he said the first answer to the thing was, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But Paul also said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? You have to hear. You have to receive the invitation. You have to hear, oh, there's a salvation is over here. Can I come? Sure can. Let me tell you about it. So the jailer says, what must I do? Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved, you and your household. But then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. He needed to do something else. He needed to hear. So he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes. Immediately he and all his family were baptized. And then it said, he rejoiced. The last phrase in verse 33. He rejoiced having believed in God with all of his household. Having believed included hearing the word of God, his belief in that message that he received, and him being baptized, and that produced an occasion of rejoicing. Verse 33, having believed, he rejoiced having believed. Belief wasn't alone. Belief wasn't by itself. That was just the initial request. Can I come? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Okay, but I don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. So they spoke the word of the Lord to him. He wasn't saved just by his belief by itself. They spoke the word of the Lord to him. Then he was baptized, he and his household. And then the last phrase in verse 33, he rejoiced having believed. Understand that? Having believed included hearing the word of God, believing it, and was baptized. The Bible says in Acts 18, verse 8, many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. There's a progression, a process, a formula, a recipe, if you will, to salvation, to being on God's side. So summarizing, and I've underlined all those words in your notes. You want to hear about the invitation, number one. Oh, there's an invitation to salvation. Can I come? Sure can. You'll need to believe that there's a place to go to salvation. There really is salvation. Mm-hmm. I believe it. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to repent. I want to turn my life around. I will come. I'll make the arrangements. I'll put everything else aside. I will be there. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when those four things are in place, you can be baptized for remission of sins. So when someone says at the close of this lesson, we sing this song of invitation, yes, I want to be baptized. You know, we're standing and singing, just a time of encouragement. We sing that song of exhortation, invitation. And so while brethren are here to rejoice with you in that decision, you say, Brian, I want to be baptized. You know, so you respond to that invitation by maybe perhaps coming to the front and having a seat right here. And when the song ends, I'll say, you can be seated. And I'll say, what's on your mind or what's your request? And you will say, that person will say to me, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. And then I will have them stand beside me and I'll ask them that question that Philip asked the Ethiopian, if you believe, you may. So I asked, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And they'll say, yes. And when they do that, then I'll have them go to a room right over here. We have a pool of water behind the curtain behind me. And there'll be a change of garments for them. They'll be assisted by the lady, one of the ladies or mom, help them out. And then we'll go down into the water and I'll baptize them. Baptism in previous lessons is an immersion in water. It means nothing else. There'll be religious people that says, oh, you can be sprinkled or have water poured over your head. That's not Bible baptism. They went down into the water, come up out of the water. Salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. That's when it takes place. And to receive the gift of God's Spirit. You're God's child. Salvation has come. You are now all those words that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 5. Justified. Saved from wrath. Saved by his life. And rejoice. Rejoice. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. So let's stand together at this time. The invitation is extended. You have that opportunity. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply let it be known by coming forward and having a seat beside me. So Dennis, let's sing.
Hear the voice of Jesus say, come to me, I am the way.
A seat right there. That'll work for me.
He loves your soul. Only a step, only a step. For he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior, yet Jesus the crucified. For you the prayer gave. For you, now watch and wait. Heart to cry, too late. Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. For he bled for you and I. Jesus, I love me, Savior. Jesus the Christ.